Welcome to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Yucaipa Church of Christ. The Yucaipa Church of Christ is located at 33981 Yucaipa Boulevard in Yucaipa. Visit their website at yucaipachurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Yucaipa Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Yucaipa Church of Christ.
Want to be sure and say hello to you. My name is Milton Beecham. I'm the minister at the Yucaipa Church of Christ, and we would certainly encourage you to come and be with us anytime you can. And it would just be a joy and a pleasure. I want to make sure I make that clear. Our discussion today is going to be on informed decisions. And I'd like to start with you in the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 24, share with you verses 14 through 16. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. There are laws that have been put in place that require full disclosure when someone is making a major purchase, like a car or a house, so that they can truly make an informed decision. And oh, the paperwork that must be filled out in both cases. Yep, you want to understand what each page is about, what it's referencing. Informed decisions are involved in serving in the military or law enforcement. Before one makes any great decision that has responsibility attached to it, they owe it to themselves to be informed. Even pharmaceutical companies list side effects associated with the use of their products in their advertising so that someone can decide if they want to use their products or not. We owe it to ourselves to be fully informed in order to make spiritual decisions. Are there any side effects for making informed spiritual decisions? Well, let's begin by first considering together. We owe it to ourselves to be fully informed before we decide. Have we ever wondered why there is so much information in the Scriptures regarding decisions that must be made? I'd like you to consider with me what is contained by inspiration in the book of Acts. And I'd like to go with you to chapter 2, where Luke recorded what happened on the day of Pentecost. Again, that's Acts chapter 2. And let's start with verse 38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all that are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. And with many other words he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this crooked generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. Yes, there's a decision that had to be made. And of course, Peter encouraged to make sure they fully understood what decision they were making. The Ethiopian eunuch story is contained in Acts chapter 8. And the eunuch was fully informed by Philip before the eunuch himself said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? Now, it turns out in Acts chapter 8, verse 35, that Philip, beginning at the very passage that the eunuch himself was reading in his chariot, taught him about Jesus. And that's what led to him asking, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? If you'll note, the passage that he was reading was Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. And in that, of course, Isaiah is writing about Jesus. And so it all came together when Philip taught him clearly, accurately, not only what that passage was about, and not only who Jesus himself had been and would continue to be his Lord, but of course, that he needed to make the greatest of all decision, and of course that would include being fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of his sins. Paul fully informed the Philippian jailer and his household before they decided to be baptized, and this is contained in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, starting with verse 30. Please share that with me. Acts 16, starting with 30. And after he, the jailer, had brought them, Paul and Silas, out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, and your household." But they didn't stop there. Continue with me, on through 32 and following. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night, and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into his house, and set food before them, and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. And folks, how do we know he believed in God? Because he did what he was directed to do when Paul and Silas taught him and his house what they needed to know to do, so they indeed, too, could make an informed decision. God must be obeyed, but we must decide to do this based on the full disclosure of his word. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when appearing before the Sanhedrin, this statement was made by the disciples. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Then on another occasion when they appeared before the Sanhedrin, notice what is said in chapter 5 of Acts, verses 29 through 32. And this time, look at this carefully with me. But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you had put to death by hanging him on a cross. He is the one whom God exalted to his right hand as a prince and a savior, to grant repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." Now, what about side effects? Are there any side effects that we might experience by making an informed spiritual decision? And really the answer to that is yes. There are side effects for making an informed spiritual decision. Such side effects range from the following. First, spiritually speaking, an informed decision can lead to a prosperous way and success. Because Joshua was instructed in Joshua 1:8 that the law would not depart from his mouth, that he would meditate on it day and night. And as a result of doing that, indeed in the promised land, in leading God's people forth in its conquest, he would have a prosperous way and he would have success. Second, an informed decision can bring growth in grace and knowledge, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. I'd like you to take a look at that with me. Again, 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18. "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard, so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." Third, an informed decision can produce rejoicing. And that's exactly what the outcome was when the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip separated from one another after he was baptized. We're told the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Acts chapter 8, verse 39. Fourth, an informed decision can produce spiritual maturity. And I know this is something that people are concerned about in this day and age, maturity, that is. But consider with me 1 Corinthians 16:13. Paul wrote, "Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Fifth, it can produce an example to be emulated. And many of us are aware that the Apostle Paul thought very highly of a young man named Timothy, and the church put him forward to the Apostle Paul in the 16th chapter of Acts, because they truly believed that he was one who needed to go forward in the service of his Lord. So later in writing, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, this is what Paul gave Timothy. "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." And six, it can keep one from stumbling. I want to direct you once again to 2 Peter. This time we're traveling to chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'd like to begin by sharing with you verse 10. "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." Now you might ask, what things? Milt, what things? What are you talking about? Let's back up, please, to verse 5 in this same chapter. "Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love." You see, not all side effects are bad. This is especially true with informed spiritual decisions. In fact, let's continue in 2 Peter chapter 1, and this time let's look together at verse 11. "For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you." It's beautiful. If you put all of those verses then together, we see how important 2 Peter chapter 1 is for our understanding, for our growth, and our development. The question is, and we've considered this before in other studies, we must decide that we want to go and be with Jesus. Shouldn't we? Shouldn't we make that decision? Shouldn't that be firm and rock hard? I believe absolutely so. In fact, I want to share with you what the Apostle Paul had to say about such a decision. This is in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and let me explain to you as you find that particular passage. This is a congregation with whom Paul had such a loving relationship. They were incredibly close. And of course, they supported him when many others apparently chose not to do so when he was in prison. And this particular letter came from prison where he was, where he'd written it. And notice what he had to say in 1:23 of the book of Philippians. "But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better." I don't know if we can get any more spiritual clarity on whether or not we want to go and be with Jesus, because that's exactly what Paul wanted to do. Now, he knew he'd have to live his life out. He was well aware of that. But he also knew that during that life, he would give himself fully to the Lord and to his will and his purpose. And he would be a fully devoted servant. And that's exactly what he was, even when held in prison. Even when he couldn't roam about freely, he still continued to proclaim the truth. He understood that there were other prisoners that he could reach out to from even a prison cell. And of course, when he was first put under protective custody in Rome, according to the 28th chapter of the book of Acts, he still received the Jews into his house so that he could talk with them about Jesus and clearly identify him as the Messiah whom God had promised to send. When will we stop hesitating between two opinions? At least that's the way the prophet Elijah put it to the people at Mount Carmel when the contest was about to occur, and it would be between him and the prophets of Baal and those who aligned themselves with Asherah. And of course, God would prevail. If you're not familiar with that story, it's in 1 Kings chapter 18. And he asked the question about limping between two opinions in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. But oh, it's a magnificent story. And if you haven't read it, please let me encourage you. Devote some time to the 18th chapter of 1 Kings and watch God in action, proving himself before his own people, as well, of course, those that worshipped false gods. It was a magnificent contest with a magnificent outcome. And, of course, it showed that God was the true and living God. When will we make the greatest informed spiritual decision of them all and be saved? You know, too many people, they hesitate. They hesitate and they don't decide. And truly, they limp between opinions. I'm not sure about this, but also I'm not sure about that. Or I think this is a good idea, but maybe that is as well. And that's kind of the tenor of some people's lives. No, we want to make the right decision. And that is the decision that is based on being saved. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, we read, "Which does now save you, even baptism, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." So being immersed in water, as we are directed, even in this verse, is not about taking a bath. There's no special ingredient in that water that's going to somehow deal with our sins. No. But obedience is what God is requiring. It is God himself directing one to be fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins. And as you know, on another occasion, if you've been listening to our program for a while, you understand that one is actually identified with Jesus in his crucifixion death, his burial, and his resurrection, according to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 6. Yes, we're talking about an informed decision. There's a tremendous amount of information in Scripture so that one can make an informed decision. I want you to please seriously consider that with me, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to make that decision and then not later walk away from it. No, he wants us to commit ourselves to that decision for the rest of our lives. I'd also spoken before, even in this lesson, about the decision that has to be made to serve in the military. There's even documentation to be signed if one is going to indeed fight for his country or she for her country. And then also in law enforcement. You know, there's a whole series of tests that those who would serve potentially in law enforcement are put through, and lots of things they need to understand. One of the things that's very, very difficult, and they want to find out if those recruits can be washed out or not, is some of the things that they will deal with when they deal with real-life situations and some of the things they will find themselves involved in, which I'm not going to go into detail, but I can certainly explain to you. You have to make that decision. Those instructing officers can't make that decision for you. The sheriff can't make the decision, or the chief of police. No, that's the decision that has to be made by the potential recruit. And it is indeed a very heavy decision to be made. Now, I'm not saying it can't be a wonderful thing to be involved in law enforcement. It is wonderful, and we're thankful to God that we have people that care about society and care about others in their society, as well those that go off to conflicts in various parts of the world in the military. But now, take your thoughts with me to the spiritual realm. We're talking about one who commits themselves as an individual for the rest of their lives to serving God, to studying his word, of course, to understand better what he wants us to do so we can make the right decision, and then give themselves to that each and every day. It's something that must be recommitted to with the sunrise as you wake up and you decide how you're going to live your day. something that is with you day in and day out. Truly, the greatest decision that anyone can make is that informed spiritual decision to be saved from their sins. You know, I was thinking about this because I haven't shared the flip side. The flip side to this lesson would be, well, what is the side effect for one who does not make an informed spiritual decision and chooses not to obey God? They either put it off or forestall it or put it on the back burner, as we might say, but they don't make the decision. What is the side effect for that lack of decision? And I hope, Lord willing, one time to be able to go along those lines with you and discuss that and consider that with you. Yeah, God makes all the difference in this world. And the sooner we realize that, and again, give ourselves to that, the more blessed we're going to be. In fact, there's so many things that I wish I could share for you because I knew your situation in your life. I don't, but I do know what the scriptures teach, and you do as well. And it is a joy to be able to spend this time with you and share these things. Now, let's also consider some other things. What we need to consider is the day-to-day. We need to consider what we're going to be doing each day. And are we going to be living for God on a daily basis? Too many people, unfortunately, say, well, yeah, okay, I'm committed, and yes, I'll give myself totally to this. And then in short order, through a set of circumstances, something they couldn't have anticipated, or perhaps others, they just turn and walk away because they say things got too hard. Their life is very difficult, and they didn't anticipate this. Well, this decision is to live with us for the rest of our lives. It's not something you make, and then you say, nope, second thought, I don't want anything to do with it. That's why we're talking about an informed decision. We've got to make an informed decision. It's not one that you've read maybe a handful of scriptures on and then you say, okay. No, it's something you want to be able to study about. Now, does that mean you have to study the Bible cover to cover before you make that decision? No. No, it doesn't. And as I shared with you before, even in that time that Philip spent with the eunuch and Paul and Silas spent with the Philippian jailer, that wasn't a tremendous amount of time, but they thoroughly discussed the topic in both cases. Philip, of course, going from Isaiah chapter 53, 7 and 8, and Paul and Silas answering this man's question. He wanted to know what he had to do to be saved. That's exactly what he asked, and that's exactly what Paul and Silas gave him in Acts chapter 16. But they got enough information, both the eunuch and the Philippian jailer and his household, so that they could indeed make that decision for themselves. And they did. And the urgency is there in both cases. They happened to come upon a body of water large enough for the eunuch to be fully immersed. And he said, look, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And of course, in the case of the Philippian jailer and his household, they understood as well that there was an urgency to this. So after the stripes of Paul and Silas were washed, they were immediately fully immersed in water for the forgiveness of their sins, for salvation. They did that because that's what was stressed to them. That's what that conversation contained. Otherwise, those results wouldn't have been recorded by Luke through inspiration as God directed him to do in Acts chapter 16. So I want you to think about this. Informed decision. Where's a place to go to get informed? Well, I want to encourage you to come to the Ukiah Church of Christ. I want you to come, and I want you to be with us in our classes and the sermons. You know, that's a wonderful place to learn. And so I want to encourage you to come and be a part of that, because that's what we get to do. We get to sit at the feet of Jesus Sunday in and Sunday out, Wednesday in and Wednesday out, and we want you to be there with us, of course. Come and bring your family. Family of all ages are welcome. Thank you so very much.
You've been listening to Preach the Word, the radio ministry of the Ukiah Church of Christ. The Ukiah Church of Christ is located at 33981 Ukiah Boulevard in Ukiah. Visit their website at ukiahchurchofchrist.org, where you can hear today's teachings and past lessons. You're invited to join the Ukiah Church of Christ for their weekly services. Assembly times are Sunday morning classes beginning at 9:30 a.m., Sunday worship and assembly at 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening assembly at 5 p.m., and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. All are invited and welcome to study God's Word with the Ukiah Church of Christ.